Welcome in to another episode of A Duff Said. I'm your host, Duff Tyler. Thank you so much for hitting the play button. This week, our guest is Rochester Adams head coach, Tony Petrito. He is back for a third appearance on the show. Now, if you don't believe in the A Duff Said karma and how it can benefit a team's success, now might be the time to buy some stock. Tony Petrito bought into it at the beginning of the season, and all his team has done is go from having one of the smallest rosters of any team in Division I football here in the state of Michigan to this Saturday, where they'll be playing for the biggest prize in Division I football in the state of Michigan. The Highlanders will be going after the school's first state title since 2003. This past Saturday, they beat Grand Blanc 40-20 in a game in which they trailed by two scores early on. Now, the Highlanders, they're used to that. They've been there, they've done that, they've conquered the competition. Quarterback Parker Pico, now he had himself quite a day. He threw for 152 yards and three scores. He also carried the ball 31 times for 151 yards and a score. Now those are the kind of performances that get a program to Ford Field. That's where Adams will face Belleville. The Tigers beat Stevenson 40-26. To reach the state finals for the first time in their school's history. They've had an amazing run over these last several years, but they just couldn't get past the state semifinal round. But this was their year. A little bit later, you'll hear from Tiger head coach Jermaine Crowell and the secret weapon Belleville found to get them there. But first, my conversation with Tony Petrito starts now. How good does it feel to be going back to the state championship game?
You know, it feels great. For me personally, it was a blink of an eye last time. It all went so fast. Now that I'm older and I have a better sense of perspective, this journey's been so much better because I'm taking it all in and it's resonating with me. And I'm just so happy for our players.
I am so glad that you used the words taking it all in, because you've been there before already as a coach. But when you're there in that moment at the state finals, and this is something that you hope you can get to every year that you start in training camp, start those practices, but you just never know when the next one's going to be. So when you're there, how often do you think to yourself, you know what, I need to take all of this in right now, enjoy every moment, no matter how difficult or frustrating it may be during the game, because this may never happen again.
Yeah, you know, we've only been there once. It was in 03 and we won it. But you're 100% right. I didn't do a good job the first time. And this time and the entire journey, I've taken it all in, like starting from day one in doubles to game one against West Bloomfield, all the way to the semi. It's been every night. I'm just so thankful for, and our motto has been, and this is interesting. You asked the question, since we got in the playoffs, just give me 7 more days together, just 7 more days as a family on the field, having fun, you know, ripping each other and getting better. 7 more days. And then after the regional final, 8 more days, because it's Friday to Saturday. And then, believe it or not, on the field at Howell in the semifinal, hey, guys, thanks so much for giving me 7 more days with you. It's the greatest thing ever. So we're just loving every day with each other.
It's a family atmosphere that you guys have created. And when we talked at the beginning of the season, you told me that you didn't have the largest roster of any of the D1 schools out there. You only had, I believe it was 44 players. Is that sound right?
That's correct. That's 100% correct.
How did you get those 44 guys to put together the season that you've had? You ran the table, you're undefeated, and here you are playing in the last game. What was the first key step that this group had to take to get to where they are right now?
That's a hard question, but an easy question, if that makes any sense. It's hard to articulate with a single word or expression or sentence, but I would say that when we chose the model resilience, as we talked about before, they really bought in. And when we started training and they had a quiet confidence about them, they believed in themselves more than anybody else, and they never doubted themselves. Even when we were down against West Bloomfield in the regional final, and we were down 2 scores Saturday against a Grand Blanc team that had 97 guys and luxury buses and all of this stuff, our kids never doubted each other. They never pointed a finger. And when that happens, something special can occur. And I'm really proud to be associated with them.
You guys fell behind early in those 2 games against West Bloomfield and Grand Blanc. One thing about your guys, like you said, you don't have a panic button. You just stay resilient and you stay focused. So in each of those two games, how did you guys maintain that composure? How did they manage to not get rattled by what they were up against?
Well, it's a common investment and that belief in each other. I said, when you play a team, sometimes when you get going on them a little bit, they start pointing fingers. There starts to be a sense of urgency that can affect your ability to focus on your job. And that didn't happen to our kids. And it's really funny, Duff. It's like all these people, like, coach, you're doing such a great job. You made all these adjustments at halftime. And, that, you know, ultimately this game was won and lost by players. And this isn't false humility. Those kids changed the flow of the game and they made momentum for themselves. And I deserve, and our coaching staff, as great as they are, our assistants, the kids deserve the credit, not us. And that's exactly how it went down.
When you started this season, you took on West Bloomfield and you got a convincing win at their place to start the year. That was supposed to be their big night, but you guys walked away with a W. So when you faced them in the state quarterfinals, you knew they had to have revenge on their mind. You knew that that was something that I'm sure that they were hoping for in that game. So when they get ahead of you guys 13-0, how did you guys manage to come back in that game?
Well, it's interesting. We knew, you know, we heard all the noise coming from them and all of their 4-star, 5-star, and this is payback night, and we're listening to James Brown and all this other stuff and all the barking before the game, and our kids just kind of got doing their business. When that game, we were down 13-0, there was that quiet confidence, that faith in each other. And our kids were like, okay, we got to do our job. Like, it's not about them anymore. It's about us doing our job. We didn't play well early, but we still have control of our own destiny and let's make it happen. And the kids did it.
What has been the one thing that has really sparked this run that you're on right now in the playoffs, where it doesn't matter who you're up against, you always seem to find that one spark to win those games?
Yeah, I think it's bottom line is chemistry. I've talked to NFL players, college players, Hall of Fame players, and every one of them to their core says championship teams are defined by the chemistry they have in the locker room and on the field. Talent's talent, and we have great talent. We have great players. We have great assistant coaches. But when you have chemistry, sincere chemistry, maybe not like each other all the way, but love each other, then something special can happen. And it sounds really hokey, but again, at all levels of football, everybody I've ever talked to, guys who played on Michigan's national championship team, to NFL players, they say the same thing. In our sport, it's all about that chemistry.
And then you get to Grand Blanc, and in that game, it seemed like anything that could have gone wrong for you in the start did. You missed the field goal early on, and then they come and they put up 2 touchdowns on you guys. And then there might have been that feeling of here we go again. So what was it about Saturday's game that led to you guys completely turning that one around? I was scoreboard watching when I was over at Troy Athens for the Belleville-Stevenson game. And we went from saying, oh, Grand Blanc is leading that game 14-0 to suddenly Rochester Adams is leading 20-0. Rochester Adams has built their score even further. And then suddenly you outscored them 40-6 from that point on. As a coach, when you're watching that unfold, you know, how thrilled were you for your guys to see that they, one, didn't lose their composure and then just did something totally, I don't know what the word is, but I'm just going to say impressive, because that was amazing, that turnaround that you guys put together on Saturday after falling behind early.
Yeah, you know what? It's like, when you asked how I felt about it, I was just so happy for the kids. Like, they were maybe a little too amped up before the game. If there's, you know, that can happen sometimes. And we try to talk about those things. Like, you can be amped up, but if you're not playing loose, if you're not comfortable in what you're doing, it's going to affect how you perform. So I think as the game settled in, we had a couple guys, especially Christian Schomer, who just elevated his level of play, and they imposed their will on Grand Blanc, and we scored 33 straight points. I mean, it's like, you know, Schomer, for example, as a player, didn't play as a junior at all. He had a torn labrum. He had played half the season as a sophomore, but his performance Saturday, you know, everyone knows about Parker Pico and DeGreek, but that kid was he was the best player on the field. He had 2 touchdown catches. He had an interception. He had a deflection that led to a pick six, and he caused a fumble. So when you have players like that who are just unbelievably high-class character kids making plays in key moments, that's what turned the momentum. And we talk about momentum as something you do, not something that happens to you all the time. And a weak-minded man says, well, this happened to us. We lost momentum. Not, you gave momentum away. So those kinds of things turned it around for us. Next thing you know, it's 33-14, and I felt a little more comfortable.
And I saw a photo of that interception. That was a thing of beauty. What has it been like to see this kid overcome what could have been a serious injury in his life early on to coming to all to making this comeback to where now he's doing these impressive plays for you and being such a leader on the field for your team?
You know what? That is all, what you just defined is why coaching is great. The relationship I have with Christian and his will and his ability to overcome all of those obstacles and not give up and still lead with a quiet confidence. He is like the most humble, nice person you ever want to meet. I don't usually get too emotional on the sidelines. I mean, I get a little fired up sometimes, but I ran down the field pumping my arms after that pick because I was so elated for him in that moment because it was such a great play, such a difficult play that I was just like, man, you know, I know that college recruiters look at other kinds of things, but if I'm sitting in that stand watching that game, that's the kid I want to recruit. So I was so happy for him.
And you mentioned Parker. What a day he had throwing the ball and running the football. One description that I heard his offensive play and the way it was described was death by a million cuts. I thought that was an interesting description from the Free Press on how he was able to run them with the football and create a lot of great offensive moments for you. As you watched this game for him unfold, you know, how excited were you to know that all of a sudden you guys have that momentum that you talked about, but you're also doing the kind of things you were hoping to do on offense?
You know what? I'm going to give you the inside scoop. I haven't told anybody this.
Thank you.
I had to apologize to him Saturday morning because he returned a kickoff. He chased down almost 200 yard runs. He carried the ball over 30 times. And in the third quarter, even in the second quarter, I looked at him and he has never shown fatigue once in his entire career at Adams. That dude was just toast. And we kept just riding him. And on the first touchdown, he got absolutely drilled as he threw it going to his left and he threw a dime. I apologize to him because I have to have a better sense of that and take some of the heat off earlier so he doesn't get so tapped out. Like, we're asking so much of him. And I think it's important for coaches to apologize when they're wrong. Like, it's hard for us because we're some of us, you know, to be a coach, you kind of have a little bit of an ego, you know what I'm saying? And so my conversation was simple. I love him dearly. I'm so proud to be associated with him. I love watching him play. And he gutted that sucker out like no other. But I apologize because I could have done a much better job of managing that. I have to do a better job of that on Saturday.
When did he first come to this program, and when did you see something in him that said this was the guy to lead your team on offense?
Well, I can tell you the first time he touched the ball, he has the kick return for a touchdown as a freshman. So that was kind of like, hey, this guy's pretty freaking good. But ultimately for us last year, we weren't sure who we were going to play at quarterback because Patera is really good. We had a junior coming back, Marco DeCristi, that was really good at running the ball. And then we had him, who's never played quarterback before in his life, going into his sophomore year. And that first game, they all played a little bit. By the end of that game, I'm not a genius, but it's pretty clear he needed to be our quarterback. And he's been it ever since.
We're talking with Rochester Adams head coach Tony Petrito. The Highlanders are playing for the Division I state championship this Saturday. One of the reasons they got there was their defense this past Saturday against Grand Blanc. Your defense turned in 5 turnovers on Saturday. Now, you've had some games this season where you've had some pretty impressive scores and your defense managed to keep the opposition out of the end zone. But to get 5 turnovers in a state semifinal game, how thrilled were you with that performance?
Yeah, listen, Mark McFarland's our D coordinator. He's been with us since day one. And there's a joke around our program, like he's the brains of the operation. And Petrillo's job is to stay out of the way, and there's actually a lot of truth to that. He is an amazing motivator, teacher, coach, and designer of defenses. So our kids play fast, and they play with passion, and when you do that on defense, you have a chance. And and his assistants on the defensive side, they deserve almost all the credit. So yeah, that came down to game planning and the kids playing fast. And when you do that and you're comfortable and know what your job is, you can be pretty good on D.
When that game was finally over and you guys had punched your ticket to Ford Field, what was the mood like on the sidelines and in the stands? I wish I could have seen that. The game that I was at was actually the one that was televised, so I didn't get to see too much of the reaction, but I'm sure you had to have a loud crowd there and everybody was pretty amped up after that.
You know, our community came out in force. You know, it was, you know, over an hour away. It was cold, but we had a student section that was, our school is the second smallest school in Division I in the tournament. Grand Blanc's the second biggest. We had more kids there. We had more parents there. Our band was there. The community was just absolutely fired up. And they came down on the field after the game, and we loved it, and we smiled about it, and we felt really good about it. But what really makes me happy is our kids were still locked in. Coach, we got seven more days. Not, hey, we're going to Ford Field. We got seven more days together. And what an amazing testament to the self-control and maturity of our team that that's what their focus was. And I give them all the credit for that.
As we record this here on Monday night, there's another big event that's taking place in Rochester. They're turning on the lights for the holidays tonight. They are flipping the switch on all those buildings. It's Christmas time in Rochester. And you guys are giving the city something else to celebrate with that trip to the state championship. What would it mean for you and your guys to give this community one more chance to celebrate something really big here around the holidays?
Yeah, you know what? We get our parents and our student body and our administration at our school has been amazing in terms of making it great for us. Clearly, we want to win for each other. This is a very personal thing for us. It's truly family. You said that earlier, and I agree with you. But from an extrinsic factor, it would be nice to give back to the community a little bit and say, hey, you got something to be proud of. Adam's got a state title.
And Knapp's Donuts for everybody if you get the win this Saturday.
On Duff. I love it. Perfect.
Well, maybe not on me, but I think somebody should get some Knapp's Donuts because
we have those every Saturday morning now. And since the playoffs started, and since you mentioned it,
let's talk now about the team that you're going to face this Saturday, the Belleville Tigers. Now, in each of the last three state semifinals, they've been there, but they never got that chance to take that final step and make it to the state finals. And now they're here. And they're doing it with a freshman quarterback. What have you seen from them both on offense and defense? And what concerns do you have about the Tigers going into Saturday at Ford Field?
Well, he is a very accomplished passer. And, you know, I heard about him in the summer even and some of the, you know, the indoor leagues that he was playing in. But they have multiple receivers that do a great job of running routes and catching the ball clean with their hands. They do a good job protecting them. They do a good enough job in the run game that you got to honor that. They have a fast, aggressive defense. They move guys around a lot. And they got athletes all over the place. So for us, it's a big challenge. And we have to do what we do and execute at a high level and not make mistakes. We can't turn the ball over. We can't commit penalties. We got to stay in front of the chains and keep their offense on the sideline. I think, again, that's the same conversation we had in August talking about West Bloomfield. They're not the same team. But there are similarities. So we've seen that kind of pace and talent, but we have to execute it at a high level to be successful.
I had the opportunity to talk to Tigers head coach Jermaine Crowell after the game. One of the things he said, as soon as we asked him, okay, now you got to face Rochester Adams, he said,
Adams is so good. I haven't looked at him. I saw a little bit of them versus West Bloomfield, and West Bloomfield is tough. You know, West Bloomfield is tough, and for them to beat them twice, that means that, you know, they're very, very, very good. You know, and I watched their program from afar. See, I watch programs and how they build and grow and what coaching staffs are doing. He's one of the top coaches in the state, just doesn't get the recognition.
What does it mean to get that kind of respect from an opposing coach?
Boy, again, when you get respect and praise from your colleagues, especially some of the great coaches we have in the state of Michigan, it's kind of humbling, to be honest with you. And I love hearing that, but I hope everybody knows that it takes an entire staff of men to get a team where we're at. And I'm just a small part of what is a congregation of coaches that do an amazing job. And again, this is not false humility. People always accuse me of that. Reality is I stand next to 14 men on the sidelines that I trust my family with. I would love them to coach my own sons, and many of them have. this is why we're good. This is why we're competitive. It's that family of coaches that just are all about the kids and not themselves. And I share that though with those men that I share the locker room with.
I'm curious. Do you guys have a song or some music that you like to play to get you guys amped up for the game?
You know what? No. Believe it or not, we don't. We believe more of a kind of a quiet, locked-in approach. It's the music can come after the game, but not before. How's that?
I totally get where you're coming from there. In fact, a few years ago, I was covering Swan Valley when they made it to the state finals. Here's the crazy thing. They had music in their locker room in week one. They had Lil Wayne going. They were all amped up. And then they promptly got their doors blown off in a game. And after that, coach said, no more music before the game. And then they got to the state finals. And then I asked him, I said, does the music come back? Some guys said they didn't want to jinx it because they've been on the streak. Other guys said, we would love to have the music. I never did find out if they did play the music or not. But obviously the results were that they lost in the state championship game, unfortunately. So there are times where you don't want to mess with that. But could there be a little bit of music going before the game for you guys this Saturday?
That'd be the big no, right? we're going to lock in. And we're going to concentrate on what's going on between the white lines and get past all that other stuff.
Later on, when we hear from Belleville head coach Jermaine Crowell, you'll hear what their hype song is. I think you're going to like what I've got coming up in this next segment, Tony. I hope you stick around for that. But okay. They do have a hype song that they're going to play. But as far as you guys, what is the biggest focus going into this game for Rochester Adams High School?
Concentrate on what we're good at. And it's never about who we play. Clearly, we have mad respect for their coaches and their players, and their journey has been a difficult one to get where they are. But we got locked in. We're capable of not look at anything else other than ourselves and those white lines and make sure we're locked in doing our job inside those white lines.
What's it going to be like for you when you make it to the sidelines at Ford Field this Saturday? What is this atmosphere going to be like for you, and what do you hope your guys take from this?
Well, you can't ignore it because it's the elephant in the room playing at Ford Field and playing for a title and all the crowds and the noise and all that stuff. But at the end of the day, I want to look in the eyes of our players and know that they're locked into that kickoff or kick return. And you can only win a game if you're focused on each down. So we'll look around, take it in, take a deep breath, look at each other, say, I love you, let's go. And that's how the conversation is going to be.
He is Rochester Adams High School football coach Tony Petrito. The Highlanders take on Belleville this Saturday for the Division I state championship. Coach Tony Petrito, it has been so much fun following you guys. I'm glad that you got that extra 7 days. I wish you all the best this Saturday.
Thank you, Duff.
Who has the best student section in all of Michigan?
Stevenson!
Once again, I want to say thank you so much for hitting the play button on this podcast, and that includes two very special listeners, Michelle and Bethany. They recently became patrons of A Duff Said. Now, for as little as $2 a month, or $24 a year, you can help this show to continue to grow and provide the content that you enjoy. And if you become a patron of A Duff Said, we have got a lot of great gifts in store for you. We've got bumper stickers, we've got t-shirts, heck, I'll even record your voicemail message. So if you're having trouble ever figuring out what to say, I'll say it for you. And that's A Duff Said. If you'd like to become a patron of A Duff Said, all you got to do is go to patron.podbean.com/A Duff Said. You heard me talk about it a little while ago, so I thought it might be fun to open up the vault and let you hear that story that I did on the 2017 Swan Valley Vikings and their trip to the state finals. We're in Motown all weekend long for the high school state football championships. Now, so many memorable sounds have come out of this city, but there's one place where they probably won't be playing them tomorrow, and that's the Swan Valley locker room in Ford Field. This is Swan Valley's first trip to the state finals.
It's been different, you know, like the past couple of years, we really haven't been going that far in the playoffs, and going this far is a dream.
Yeah, I wish somebody would have warned me of the circus this week would be.
When the season began in August, the Vikings were pumped up. They had just heard their favorite Lil Wayne song and took the field.
I mean, that's the week that we lost. I mean, we lost to Zeolene's 44-14.
That crushing defeat led to an immediate change.
Coach saw it was the music. Everyone got too hyped before the game, so we took it away. And
after that, the only hits Swan Valley heard on Friday nights were the ones they made on the field.
It's fun. We're playing football and we're having fun.
The music was muted, but the Vikings dialed it up a notch. They're riding a 12-game winning streak. But do they turn the music back on for the final game of the season?
Oh, we really hope so. We've been earning it all week. We always beg him and beg him. He never really lets us have music.
Or is it just too much of a risk?
It'd be pretty nice to, but I mean, we got our team superstitious, so I mean, coaches probably won't allow that.
It does get the players hyped up. It gets me hyped up. But if we're able to get it done without music, I think we'll be fine.
Now, that was a fun look down memory lane, but it was a tough day for Swan Valley. As you heard me talk to Coach Tony Petrito about earlier in the show, Swan Valley did not win the state finals that year, and I still don't know if they turned the music on. But I wanted to bring up the whole music issue, because this past Saturday, I was at the Belleville-Stevenson game in the other state semifinal matchup in D1. Now, this was a day that Belleville players and coaches had been waiting 4 years for. They finally punched a ticket to the state finals after getting to the state semifinals each of the last 3 years, only to come up short. This past Saturday, they defeated Stevenson 40-26. Now, this is the first trip for Belleville to the state finals, their first ever journey to Ford Field. So what was it that was missing for Belleville all these years? Was it freshman quarterback Bryce Underwood? Well, there's an argument to be made for him. This kid does not play like a freshman. He was out there making plays that I've seen some seniors not be able to make. On Saturday, he had 3 touchdown passes, and he ran another one in on a 4th down play. But this was not the missing piece, nor was it a dominant performance by the Tiger defense that forced a couple of Titan turnovers, including a pick 6 from a defensive lineman. It turns out what the missing piece for Belleville and its seniors was not making big plays on the field. It was actually an earworm that was stuck in the head of their head coach, Jermaine Crowell.
Like the whole day, you know, I've been, you know, just that Phil Collins song.
Yep, turns out that what was needed to motivate this team before the game was not a Newt Rockne-like speech in the locker room. Nope, what they needed was a little boost from a Grammy-winning artist.
That Phil Collins song.
Do you like Phil Collins?
Now, at first, I didn't know which song it was that they jammed out to in the locker room before they took the field. I got to the post-game press conference with Jermaine Crowell a little late, so I just heard him say,
that Phil Collins song.
So I wasn't sure which Phil Collins song he was referring to. So I'm thinking in my head, well, what song was it? I mean, after all, this was their 4th try to get to the state finals after so many setbacks. Could that mean they were against all odds?
You're coming back to me.
Or maybe, just maybe, Coach Crowell said, come on guys, we win today and we get
one more night. One more night.
I mean, that could have been it. I mean, you just heard Tony Petrito say, I get 7 more days with you, so what's
one more night.
Perhaps that speech went a little differently. Perhaps he said, we win today, guys. This is our shot. Our shot at another day in paradise.
Think twice, 'cause it's another day for you. You mean paradise.
Or how about this? Maybe he said, go out there, guys. Go out there and
take me.
Actually, it was none of those songs. Not at all. No, the Tigers, they had some swag. They went old school 1980s style. They rolled out onto the field like Crockett and Tubbs on Miami Vice. That's right, if you're a fan of the show like I am, if you know that iconic scene and you know that iconic song that plays in the background. Tigers felt it in the air on Saturday, and they finally got that elusive W. After the game, Coach Crowell talked about this long journey that they've been on and how grateful he was for this group, the group that got it done.
Just like I learned from Brighton, just like I learned from West Bloomfield, just like I learned from Canton, I learned all of those lessons, and those were great programs. We didn't lose to anyone that we... You know, it wasn't like we lost to somebody that we weren't supposed to lose to. At that time and where we were, you know, that's about where we were. Our talent was good, but maybe our coaching staff wasn't as solid. Or maybe we weren't in the building with the discipline and the character the way we needed to be. Those things factor into a team. I think now that I've learned a lot and learned to appreciate those things, because at the time when I was going through that, I really didn't, you know, I thought it was about winning and getting kids in school, you know, so now, you know, my perspective is a little bit different. And at the end of the day, you know, throughout the year, my seniors thought that I had fired them and I had left them, but I had really told them that, hey, man, you're fired. When I said you were fired, it was because, you know, at that point in time, you know, once the seniors get to a certain place, you done took them as far as you can. You done taught them all the lessons, and now you need to see where they are. And so I wanted to see where my seniors were. You know, I wanted to see, hey, man, you know, you on your own, you get what you earn. You know, so from here on out, you know, coach not picking you up, coach not dropping you off. You know, I'm expecting you to lead. I saw Jeremiah Caldwell make plays out there as a senior. I saw Deshaun Lee make plays out there. I saw Trevor Jones make plays out there. I saw Devin Williams make plays out there. I saw Cam Dyson make plays out there. Those are seniors. You know, those are four-year ball players, guys who have been with me for the whole 4 years, so they done had the heartbreak. So now, those are the kids that, it's not on me, it's on them. They went through the heartbreak three times. So that's on them. They chose to band together and know we're not gonna lose, or know we need to be disciplined, or know we need to listen just to what the coaches are saying. My coaching staff, I want to thank Coach Short. I want to thank Coach Lee. I want to thank Coach DeJuan Rogers. I want to thank Ramon Taylor. I want to thank Spencer Smith. I want to thank Mario Stewart. I want to thank everybody, because those are the guys that stuck with me when, you know, it was rough. You know, those are the guys that stuck with me, you know, when everybody else left. You know, so we happy over here. You know, at the end of the day, we happy. You know, tap in with Belleville, or you might get tapped out. I'm just saying.
Gotta love that enthusiasm. Belleville and Rochester Adams this Saturday at Ford Field for the Division I State Championship. You can go to MHSAA.com to check out the complete listing of all the state championship games happening this weekend at Ford Field. That's going to wrap it up for this edition of A Duff Said. Be sure to check out my website, aduffsaid.com. You can also follow me on Twitter, @DuffTyler. Until next time, this is Duff Tyler reminding you that if Duff said it, it must be true, because that's what A Duff said. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.